Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 226 of the new year of 2016. Hey, and I'm joined as always by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing well. And we have another knucklehead pulling up a stool today, our good buddy John Peters from Florida. Sunny, sunny Florida, which we could say that now as me and Dennis freeze to death. Pull up a stool, John.
Hey, thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you, buddy, even though you rub it in that it's warm and nice and sunny, as me and Dennis are actually getting into the freezing zone up here, aren't we?
We sure are, and I'm awful jealous of our good friend John down there in Florida, but, you know, we'll be thinking about him in August when we're up here in relative
well, actually,
cool weather.
Actually, today would be my John Peters winter uniform day. It's about 52 outside and rainy. So.
Oh, you poor, poor baby.
Yeah, I know.
You.
It's rough.
Yeah. It's like, what, 18 at my house this morning, Ben?
Yeah, it's not much better than that here.
And you got the first little glimpse of ice and snow this past week, didn't you, my friend?
Yeah, it was like a bad nightmare from last year, but at least we're into January now, and it's the days are getting a little longer each day, so we're heading in the right direction.
So first and foremost, I want to wish both you knuckleheads a happy new year. I'll even buy you a drink here at the pub.
All right.
Same
water,
to you,
water on both of them, for both of them.
Happy new year.
Thanks, guys. I'm looking forward to a bright new year. I'm looking forward to my next trip down to see Mickey Mouse, and I'm looking forward to all the new stuff going to open in 2016. It's really exciting. After what they did in 2015, how can they top it in 2016?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I mean, the fun thing about Disney is they release all this stuff, or we find out about it through third-party sites and podcasts and stuff, and then you got to kind of wait until like it comes to be and actually gets built. So there's a lot of build up to this stuff until announcement, till you finally get to ride the attraction or visit the show or whatever it might be. So you're right. I think they announced a lot of stuff in 2015, and some of those things will come to be in 2016, and that we'll actually be able to experience them.
Yeah, before we know it, our correspondent John there is going to be reporting on River of Lights if we're not there, Dan.
Yes.
I made my dinner reservations for our trip in May, and I got Tusker House at 5:15. I'm anticipating eating there for an hour or so, and then hopefully we can get good seats for that show. So if I don't see it before then, we're definitely going to see it on our vacation at the end of May. So
I like the Tusker House a lot. I'd be a little more jealous if it was the Yak and Yeti, but you guys want to know something? I actually got the recipe for the fried wontons from the Yak and Yeti.
Did you make them yet?
Not yet, but I'm going to. With all the stuff we had for Christmas and the cookies and the cakes and my sister-in-law, we celebrated her birthday two weekends in a row, so we had two birthday cakes. If I'd have tried to break out the fried wontons, my wife might have beat me with the skewers. But no, that's going to be on the to-do list. That I want to make. I want to try that. The only thing I get a little nervous with is the hot oil, because they have to be fried in the pot. I'm not too experienced at that. But I wasn't at cookies either, and they came out okay.
Yeah, you'll do fine. Just don't put a cold something into the hot oil.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get any water near it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It'll explode, and you guys will be not having Dougie no more. So what's your goals? Have you, either of you made a New Year's resolution?
No,
myself,
I've given up on that. I mean, I do better just kind of doing things throughout the year. You know, I think everybody, it's almost a tradition that, you know, everyone has the normal one, lose a few pounds, eat healthier, you know, all that good stuff. But trying to maintain that throughout the year is difficult for me when I do it at the beginning of the year. So I personally don't do them at this time of year.
What we're doing is well, everybody knows we want to move, so we're trying to clean out and stuff like that. But I'm trying to have, I try to be positive, but I'm even trying to be more positive this year.
Okay.
I mean, the negativity just brings you down, and I'm trying to, my resolution is trying not to be as negative. I'm not a negative person, but I can be at times, and I don't even like that. I'm trying to better myself that way. I'm not making a resolution not to drink this or eat that or do that, but I'm just making a resolution of trying to be a little better person this year.
Well, you got a lot of work to do.
I know, buddy. I know.
I'm only teasing.
I know, it's true. How about you, Johnny?
I think I'm not worried about what I eat, what I drink, and stuff like that. But actually, I'm thinking I'm going to try harder to stay in better contact with my family. You know, I talk more to my friends and stuff than I do of my extended family, and I really need to get back in contact with my sisters and my nieces and nephews and stuff, and do a better job at that. So
that's a good one, and it's true. See, because a lot of times with the family, they tell you what you don't want to hear. And that's what causes most trouble. And am I wrong about that, though?
No, it's pretty true.
You know, I call my brother up every day just to get abused. I wake up and say, I really feel good about myself. Let me call my brother Don. He'll put me right back in perspective.
Right. Oh, that's a great one, John. I mean, you know, that's one that I could use some work in that area myself. And, you know, we kind of get spoiled here. Like, you know, you might have Twitter friends, Facebook friends, or, you know, Disney friends, whatever. But you're always seeing them on, when they're, you know, on their A game, I guess, because, you know, you're talking about a common thing that you both enjoy. So very rarely did things go in a direction conversation-wise, like Doug was saying with his brother, where things go negative. You know, things tend to be generally positive. So it's not like real life, I guess, like it would be with family.
But you're right. I try to call my aunts, my uncles. I do that, but I'm a phone person, ain't I, Dan?
Oh, yes, you sure are.
See, but I'm a person that if it's on my mind, I want to say it, because you forget it. I mean, and if you forget it, my car, my other mother, Mrs. Goff, Mrs. G, who I did the Florida trip for, she lives down there, and I'm very proud of her. She actually got her pass, and she's addicted now. Her and her friend John, they go a couple times a week to Disney World now, which is a good thing. But she told me, if you don't remember it, it wasn't that important. And I used to go by that. Then there was a few things that I should have remembered that I didn't. And that advice don't work too good no more.
Yeah, and as you, every year you get older, that gets worse and worse, Doug. So it's not going to get better.
No, and if it's on your mind, I want to tell the other person, so at least the two of us know it now, so maybe we might remember to do it
as we're
all getting older.
Well, if two people forget it, then maybe it wasn't that important.
Exactly, so but if both of us do, if both of you remember, you make sure you get it done. Like, you know what I'm saying. You got something to mail out, or you got this to do, or you just want to say something to do with the show, and you're calling your partner, and he's like, you're calling me again?
Well,
you know who that guy is?
Actually, a few years ago, and I know they still have these. In fact, I have one, but even the simple, I think they used to call them dictaphones, but it was like a microphone. And
your recorder on your iPhone you could use.
Yeah, you could do that. But, I mean, we used to have a guy on our campus that, you know, when we go out, we generally, any work that we see that needs to be done, we call the office or write it down on a pad of paper and then turn it in when we get to the office. But it's almost like the same thing you're talking about, Doug. If you don't do it right then and there, you forget. So this guy actually got a little tape recorder, and this was years ago, so the technology wasn't as good as it is now. And then when he got back to his office, or maybe at the end of the day, or even the end of the week, depending on, you know, how he set it up, he'd just hit playback and sit there and do it all at once. So he never, you know, at least he was diligent in doing that, and he never forgot anything. You know, he just had it all right there on tape.
Absolutely. I try. Like me, the other day, I was inside of a cabinet. I'm remodeling a bathroom, drilling holes for all the drawers, and I remembered something. So I hit Siri and just say, call Dennis. Because I want to tell him right away, because I know by the time I'm done remodeling this bathroom at the end, I'm scatterbrained.
Right, right.
and if it's something we want to add to the show, like we want to update the website soon, we're gonna update more of the Disney files on the website and stuff like that. So when I have information, I want to tell them. Or even with you, John, like to be on the show or something like that, I don't want to wait to the last minute. If I'm thinking about it, I want to call you. So it's good. You should call your family and friends more, and they need to just answer the phone for you and be happy about it.
Wow, the world according to Doc.
Exactly. The new year hasn't changed yet, has it?
No.
So, do you want to tell Dennis about that crazy news down at Bongo's, John?
Sure. I was actually really surprised that this didn't get reported more nationwide. It was reported here. It was like breaking news in the middle of the 11:30 or the 11 o'clock newscast. Apparently on Christmas Day, this actually happened Christmas Day, a patron at Bongo's upstairs got upset that his food was taking so long and got rather abusive with the waiter. And the manager came over to try to quell the situation. He got so upset with the manager that he ended up punching him.
And,
you know, Merry Christmas.
This is Christmas Day. It's crowded. You know, people are on edge. And obviously, probably alcohol had a factor with it. But that's all it was that this, you know, this gooberhead punched the manager. And that was it. But the people downstairs, I guess somebody said something and then believe they heard gunshots. And then all of a sudden, what my wife was actually saying was it just sounded like somebody wanted to get out of dip paying for dinner. So, but they took to their heels, ran out into the crowd right there in the middle and started yelling gunshots, gunshots.
Oh,
there's
no.
Gunfire. And then somebody else picked it up and yelled bomb.
And
so
oh,
then all of a sudden, there's, they said, dozens, maybe close to 100 people stampeding through freaking the west side there, and all the way to the parking garage and down to the boats. And I guess one of the I read one of the Twitter reports, there was a woman on the boat who their boat from Saratoga Springs pulled in. People just started jumping on the boat before before the captain even
tied it off.
Yeah, and all this, and so he just pulled away from the boat and turned the lights off. So, but
what's going on here today?
It's like The Walking Dead. There was zombies following.
Yeah,
you know,
it was absolutely craziness, and all it started over was one guy. That guy got arrested for disorderly conduct, and that was it. That was it, and just the total. I guess you know everybody's so on edge.
Yeah, it's the world we live in right now.
Yeah, and they're just panicked. So
it's crazy that happened there. Dennis, he sent the – it's on Fox 35, wasn't it, John?
Yeah, Fox 35.
Yeah, he sent me the link, and I seen the video of the reporter reporting on it and talking about it. It's crazy that was all over. Probably something dropped, like maybe the waiter's the book for the receipt for the payment or something hit the floor or something like that. Maybe a glass broke, and it probably sounded like somebody imagined it was a gunshot, and you know what, HE double hockey sticks broke out.
Well, like John said, I'm sure the first people that left were the ones that were done eating but hadn't been checked yet.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, the smart ones. We're getting out of this, Betty. Let's go. Throw five on the table.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, though. Well, I mean, whether it was, you know.
Yeah, we're not trying to make light of it.
Yeah, whether people were confused or not. But, I mean, you know, like Doug said, in the world we live in today, when you hear anything that happens like that, some people overreact, and, you know, some people don't react at all. I mean, at least in my buildings up here, I mean, we got people when the fire alarm goes off, they don't even, you know, leave the building because they figure, yeah, it's just a test or it's a false alarm. And, you know, you got others that'll almost jump out the window. So everybody's different in those situations.
Yeah, we've had that a few times on the at some of the hotels I've worked in, like building them and stuff. They'll mm-hmm. be testing them, mm-hmm. and sometimes they won't even tell you they're testing them.
Right.
And everybody, like the guys, will forget, and you can't take that not seriously when you're on like the 15th floor of a skyscraper. Even if you're not told they're testing, you got to leave, and a lot of times we had that earthquake thing when everybody leaving, a couple guys didn't believe it.
Right.
They're staying in the building. I'm like, are you insane? But, yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, you get privy – like, you're not worried about it. You get used to it. It becomes commonplace, and it shouldn't be. You shouldn't be comfortable with the fire alarm going off.
Exactly. And you're right, Doug. Unless somebody puts out some sort of correspondence saying, you know, we'll be testing in the building between this hour and that hour, you know, you hear that thing, it's not optional. You have to leave. I mean, or you should leave. It's, you know, you don't just decide, oh, I don't think it's a real, you know, fire alarm or whatever.
I've gotten in a fight with bosses over it.
Right.
You know that they did this yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Or they could have did it 5 hours ago. If you're not telling me it's a test, it could be a real fire.
Exactly.
I love my family. I want to go to Disney World again. I'm not sitting in a bottle of a thing of rubber. I'm not going to. If something is going on, you know how fast in them buildings that wait, like if something's burning, that's toxic. You know, the stuff that we use, pipes and stuff like that.
And generally, when something goes wrong in a fire, that's what kills you. You don't get burnt to death, at least not initially. You suffocate and you breathe in all those toxic fumes, and that's what gets you.
But yeah, and this, you know, you got to take, you can't take it, you know, take it for granted that it's not true. I mean, a lot of times they would be testing all the time, the sprinkler guys and the safety guys, and they drop the ball. Like they tell five floors and not tell we'd have 15 floors and they might skip two floors.
Right.
So everybody else, and then you see people running, you're like, oh, I was told it's not real, but should I go now? you know, but it's crazy. The world we live in, everything's reported. I mean, nothing is unreported anymore. It has everybody on edge.
Yeah. One of the reports they had from one of the guys out there, he was on the phone. He was saying that he didn't hear any gunshots, but saw everybody running, and he's there with his 11 or 17-year-old daughter, and he wasn't going to take any chances, so he just ran with the crowd. So, you know, they just picked up more and more people like that as the situation developed. But I guess, fortunately, nobody really got hurt.
Thank goodness, because that's how the elderly get hurt, and some people that are handicapped
trampled,
and stuff like that, they can't get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And you know the George Costanzas of the world. Did you ever see that episode?
Which one?
The kid's birthday party. The alarm goes off. He starts throwing women and children out of the way to get out the door. It's like, you know, I'd be the guy to honestly sit there and help get the seniors out because that's who I am. But I could see the George Costanzas of the world running you over. you know the type. He knocks the trash can over, runs out of the kitchen, starts clearing the birthday party to get out the door. Needless to say, the girl he was dating on the show broke up with him. But that's a shame, John. I mean, but that's the stuff you hear about. They probably reported on it for days down there, didn't they?
It was 2 or 3 days we heard about it, but it was such a non-story after everything was said and done. That I think it just goes to show you, like we were talking about, how everybody's on edge more than anything. I mean, the fact that somebody got in a fight at one of the restaurants at, you know, 9:30 at night, that's not even a store. It's just, it's a little scary about how easy everybody panicked. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and the thing of it is from what I heard, if you get in a fight on Disney property, you're banned for life.
Yeah, I don't think that guy's coming back, so.
No, I think you're banned.
That'd be a tough one, huh? You know, if you got baited in some sort of altercation or something like that, and then you react and don't think it through, and then next thing you know, you're banned for life.
That's the only thing that stopped me at Pinocchio Village. Don't tell my wife of her yelling at me, guys. Shh, quiet. The only thing that stopped me that day was me thinking about never being allowed back at my happy place again. Because that guy was the same thing that I'm talking about, just ignorant, didn't want to be there, was rude to my mother-in-law. You know, cut her off. We're holding the door to get her into Pinocchio's to eat, a snack after dinner later on in the night. And this guy just was the most rude person I've ever seen. She's in a wheelchair and he's almost knocking her over. I lost my mind, but that was in the back of my head. You will never be allowed to see Mickey Mouse again.
Right. Yeah.
That kind of calmed me down. So it's been a slow news week, Dan. You want to read the couple news bits that we have for this week?
Yeah, you're right, Doug. There's not a whole lot going on. I mean, with the holidays and all of the festivities around those, things have been pretty typical down there.
Just a major, major, major crowd. Aren't you guys glad you missed that?
Yes.
Yeah, I am, I guess. But the longer it is that since I've been there, I should say, I think I would want to withstand the crowds more and more.
I'm watching the Disney, the Epcot video right now, and I'm seeing the trash cans. And you gave me those trash can receipts. I mean, those trash can salt and pepper shakers that I love.
Right.
Just seeing the trash cans at Epcot, I wouldn't even mind standing next to one of them. That's how much I missed seeing the trash cans.
And that's kind of how I think, Doug. I said, well, even with the large crowds, I'd just be happy even if I wasn't at the parks. I'd just stay at the resort or something like that, or just people watch or something. Whereas, you know, where John literally could be there in an hour or so or whatever his commute is, you know, he's like, I don't want any part of that, you know, so.
No, I'll wait 2 weeks and I'll go when the crowd's a lot less. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
You have that luxury. But, yeah, the crowds have been massive, as they are each and every year. And you know, going at this time of year is a bucket list thing for a lot of people that, you know, tend to travel in the spring or the fall when it's a little bit cooler in Florida. So I think that's why you get the massive crowds and, you know, people want to commemorate celebrating the new year coming in or a Christmas, a family Christmas at Disney World. So the crowds are huge at that time of year.
Oh, but like I said, I've been down there a couple times Christmas. I love it. Just never Christmas week.
Right.
My wife would never, I can't say never, but she wouldn't be comfortable. That's why I wouldn't do it. The crowd's totally, she gets very sketchy with major crowds. You don't, as long as she could see ways to get around, but like at Times Square where those people were there for 15 hours and couldn't move, I mean, what are they wearing, catheters?
I mean,
truck drivers do sometimes. You know what I'm talking about. They had the portable ones, but it's like, what would you do standing there for 15 hours?
Yeah, just hope you don't feel something warm running down the back of your leg, right?
It's just crazy, man. I mean, so she would go nuts that she couldn't see the exit. Like, you know how you're in a major, like at Disney World, there's always ways to go to leave people.
Right.
When it's normal crowds, but not when it's that time of year, 4th of July and Christmas. But like you said, Dan, we said a couple weeks ago, I wouldn't mind being like over at Muddy Rivers at Riverside, or maybe grab a blanket and throw it on the grass along the Sascoula River and have like a picnic for New Year's with the family.
Yeah, just to be on Disney property and, you know, some out of the way spot and just enjoy the amenities and hopefully a nice sunny day, and that would make me happy.
I wonder if the River Roost like puts. I wonder if they add more chairs around in there or something. I wonder, like in the lobby there, if they set up chairs. Like, no, the entranceway. I don't know if that'd be legal.
Yeah,
but I think it would make sense to add more seating there. Like, know where the artist usually sits, right there in the lobby.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been that time of year, but I'm sure there's some sort of fire code, you know, reason why they couldn't put them all around the area there. But who knows?
Yeah, because the whole reception area where the kids are and all that, I mean, they could hold a major crowd there if they wanted to have some kind of New Year's Eve celebration there, too. Because I would love to be at one of the resorts. I think it would be fun out on the beach over at the Yacht and Beach Club or over at the Polynesian out on the beach or Grand Floridian. There's a lot of room there where you could just chill with your family and still watch the fireworks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you think Yeehaw Bob does a special show for New Year's Eve or anything like
I
that?
I bet he does, especially if it falls on Friday night.
Yeah,
like this year, or Thursday night, he works Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That would just be a lot more fun than actually trying to get into the Magic Kingdom or something like that, you know, just sit and watch Yeehaw Bob and then go out, like you said, and walk along the river there at Port Riverside and be a lot nicer.
Absolutely, or if you're over at the Yacht and Beach Club, the boardwalk on the one, you know, the boardwalk's mobbed. It's probably the only time it's ever crowded.
Yeah, that overflow crowd. I mean, if Epcot is packed, that's going to push people out into the boardwalk area. And it's a beautiful area, as we know, and there's plenty of places to eat and get stuff and stores and everything else that goes with it. And you do have a vantage point of seeing at least the high fireworks from Illuminations and stuff like that. So, yeah, that'd be a great spot.
Absolutely. Or my walking area from the Swan and Dolphin and the boardwalk down to Hollywood Studios. Just cop a squad along the river there and watch the fireworks from the studios.
Yeah, that's where we saw the 4th of July fireworks. We saw the Frozen ones and we saw the Star Wars ones all across the water there. Almost like you're looking straight at Tower of Terror from across
Absolutely.
The water.
Absolutely. My favorite walkway. There goes my idea. Now, don't tell everybody.
Yeah.
I heard that years ago, and I definitely stole it this year. We've been there several times to watch fireworks.
It's awesome. Like, what you do is, you know how you have them portable chairs that you can put on your back?
Yeah.
There you go.
Take a set of them, walk it down the river, take a little cooler with you, sit along that river and watch the fireworks.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be a nice, peaceful way. Don't, guys, don't tell anybody.
Next time you go there, there'll be 6,000 people with
exactly.
tents and umbrellas and all kinds of stuff.
Sleeping bags.
Hibachis.
yeah, hibachis. You'll see George Foreman out there grilling, selling some grills. get the nonstick, But yeah, but wouldn't that be a good idea just to hang out along that river?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That would be heaven to me. I wouldn't need to be in the parks. Any of those out of the off the beaten path areas, I think that would be the way we would do it once we moved down there. I'd sneak over there that way. But getting in the parks, like the Magic Kingdom on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, it was open, it was closed, it was open, it was closed. I mean, it went open and closed like 4 or 5 times the capacity.
Right.
You know, do you want to be the guy standing out there waiting for them to let two in?
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want to be that guy?
I wonder how accurate that is. Like, if it's rounded up to the nearest 100 or nearest 1,000, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Can't be onesie twosies. I doubt that. But
you get my point. You're standing out there waiting to get in.
Right.
Come on, somebody leave. I want to go into this mess. It's like, what are you looking? You'd have to be wanting to stand next to a trash can, because if you know you're waiting to just be let in.
Right.
What are you getting on?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
I might try to take a ride on one of the candy trees inside the confectionery store. Maybe something like that. That's about all. You might get on the TTA. I know you're getting on nothing else.
Right. After probably at least an hour's wait.
I mean, I bet you that line is halfway down Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely in front of Monsters, Inc., Laugh Factory there, whatever. Guarantee you.
So, now they cut you off. What is the little bit of news? The parks being closed was one of them.
Yeah, Typhoon Lagoon closed due to poor weather, and it's going to begin its refurbishment. So, it'll be closed January 2nd and 3rd, and it will reopen on the 4th. Oh, I'm sorry, reopening to guests on March 13th.
Now, do you, John, do you have Water Park in your pass?
We had it 1 year, and my wife and my son are both not water park people, and I am. I think I mentioned to you before that
I can see you with a beer in your hand doing a belly flop.
Yeah,
I can see it now.
I worked at Wet n Wild when I was a kid, and I've always loved slides, water slides. I love the ocean, but I just can't get them to go. So yeah, we had them 1 year, and I couldn't get anybody to go with me. So no, I don't get them now. I'm waiting for maybe one of you guys to get down here.
We'll have to go three some Summit Plummet guys. Three of us on the Summit Plummet.
Oh, boy.
Now, what do you like better, Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon?
I think I would like Typhoon Lagoon a lot better, though. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like Summit Plummet?
To tell you the truth, I haven't been to them, but just looking at them, yeah, I would do Summit Plummet, too. So,
you're supposed to 50 mile an hour. You get up to 55 mile an hour, buddy. It's a thrill.
Yeah, there you go.
But you have to have a really sturdy pair of swim trunks. That's all I'm telling you. What were you going to say, Dan? I'm sorry, buddy.
I was just going to say, I've said this before, we're not water park people either. But I must say, though, one time that we stayed at the beach club, we did the Storm Along Bay, and we did use the slide, the captain's ship there that's in the water's edge, and that was a lot of fun. So I guess it's one of those things I'm not really too happy to think about doing it or going to a water park, but once I'm there actually doing it, it was fun. So I ended up going on it with my daughter and son 10 times in a row or something like that. This was a few years back, but I did enjoy it.
No, it's a good time. They do a good job. I mean, even the theming and all is beautiful in them.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a good time.
Up until my son was 13 or 14, he was really interested or really enjoyed all the pools and stuff like that and the slides, and we'd go to the swimming pool, you know, at least once a day when we stayed at the resorts. But he lost interest in it, and so now I'm stuck going by myself, but I still go by myself, and I have to – you feel a little weird, you know, being an adult by yourself.
A little?
On the slide. I don't care, so I do it anyway.
It's one of those things for me, John. I mean, I love the pools at the resorts, and I use them all the time. I don't mind the hot tubs either. I think for me with the water parks, it's just being – in the bodies of water with so many people where it's so crowded. Like if I knew it was going to be sparsely populated and, you know, I'm not saying nobody there, but, you know, kind of like one of the resort quiet pools or something like that, I would do it. I just, it doesn't seem appealing to me to be in a, like I said, a body of water, a river of water with people just, you know,
gobs of people.
Yeah, that's what doesn't appeal to me.
I mean, the Lazy River's awesome. It's a nice, relaxing trip. Is it that you've done that, haven't you, John?
Yeah.
The Lazy River's really nice where you flow around and all. But the point is, with us, again, it's time, because we're not down there enough. But if you would live down there and it was on your pass, I would probably go a couple times a year. You just want to go, like you said, though, Dan. The other thing is us as just being adults, you'd feel you don't want to get in the way of the kids having fun either.
Right. Yeah, you know. It's one of those things, but you know, that's why they have all the different things down there. There's something for everybody, and you know, some take advantage of all the amenities and all the things that are offered, and some don't.
No.
So anyway, that's going to be closing down for refurbishment. Next story is Disney's Hollywood Studios Streets of America character meet and greets to close next week. And this is the Phineas and Ferb and Lightning McQueen and Mater meet and greets will permanently be closing next week. So it looks like they're going to start readying this area for construction. At least that's what it sounds like to me.
I hope they're hiring.
Yeah, the two last meet and greets will be January 4th. The recently built Joffrey's Coffee kiosk will also close at the end of January 4th. I wonder if
Starbucks had something to do with that.
No, I don't think so.
I was just kidding. I'm trying to start a fight.
Yeah.
just in the way, right?
Yeah, and actually, both them companies have been, brought in on Disney property, I guess, pretty much at the same time. Actually, Joffrey's was there first, believe it. Not that location, but I guess on property they were there first. So, it'll be interesting to see, though, in the long run, if they carry both companies' coffee and stuff, or whether they commit to one or the other.
No, I'm glad I'm not a crazy connoisseur either. I drink more. I drink a little Starbucks now with my whole soda backing off of. You know, it's like my wife lets me treat. I'll have a root beer here and there. I'm totally off the caffeine, so I no longer drink anything with caffeine in it, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I like both. Joffrey's is better than what they give you in the room they used to, so that Nescafe was nasty.
A lot better.
Hot and hot water would be better than Nescafe, whatever it was.
And Nescafe, if you want to sponsor us, we'll love your coffee. We're just kidding. We couldn't. Well, no. The price is right, but we could.
In a general sense, though. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, but, you know, coffee offerings in general across Disney property has gotten much, much, much better over the last handful of years than it used to be. I mean, that was a thing that many, many people that visited Disney World were that was one of their biggest complaints, to come from all over the country and the world, for that matter, and get there and get up in the morning and not be able to have a proper cup of coffee. So they've dealt with that issue, and I think everybody's generally a little happier in the morning, those that are used to having a coffee each morning.
Oh, absolutely. The thing of it is it's so nice to know that each park I go to in the morning, I can get my wife her iced coffee. Puts a little smile on her face.
Right. I mean, you know, that's just the little things like that, and, you know, people are generally stressed out when they're on vacation, you know, even though they're supposed to be relaxing. But, you know, just one more added thing, like not having your favorite coffee or whatever, can just add more stress to the day, and it's not necessary, and now it isn't.
I already have plans for the $30 Starbucks gift card for my wife before we leave on the next trip.
Well, there you go.
This way because she'll say, I don't know if I want to spend it. You know, like it's that argument, and she gets it every morning. But she feels bad. But it's like we're on vacation. So I'm just going to facilitate it by getting the Starbucks gift card. So this way I don't have to have that argument. See, gentlemen, if you think it out, you can make life a little easier on yourself.
I'm just curious. Does she have the app on her phone?
No, she doesn't. My wife loves her phone. I just got her the new 6, the iPhone 6 for Christmas. And we upgraded for that for her. But she likes the phone. She loves the phone. But she don't mess with the apps the way we do, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, she should get the app, because then you could just load it right on. You wouldn't even have to have the physical gift card. You just put it right on her phone, and you bring it up, and you don't even need your card or a wallet or anything.
Yeah, well, at home, most of the time, because we have the Keurig, we buy her Starbucks. She just gets in the machine every morning. So we don't, she don't really go Target once in a while because they have the Starbucks in them. I don't know if they have the Starbucks in the Target up your way.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah.
Once in a while, when we're shopping, she'll grab one, but she don't like you. You get a Starbucks every morning, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's like you're on your way to work. You stop at Starbucks and get your. They know your name now, right?
Part of my routine every morning.
Yep. Yeah. See, we have the Keurig. Brenda makes her home, so we haven't really got into it. She buys more Starbucks at Disney World than we do anywhere else.
Right.
You know, we buy the Keurig cups. We get her a 15-pack every, you know, every other week.
You get them at the supermarket or
yeah,
at
right
Starbucks?
At, yeah, right at Target we buy them. They sell a 15-pack.
There you go.
Lasts her 2 weeks usually. You know, she has one cup in the morning and that's it. If she drinks it at night, she can't sleep.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that after, you know, 5 p.m. or something. If they have caffeine or anything like that, they'll be up all night.
Yeah, every once in a while, if I want her to stay up and watch a TV show past 9 o'clock with me, I try to sneak her one.
Yeah, there you go.
I try to subliminally make her. Wouldn't the coffee be good right now?
Right.
How good would a coffee be, Bren? Look at that.
That's my routine on the way home now. If we're out there for a single day, we end up staying until 9, 10 o'clock. I stop at the Starbucks before getting the car on the drive home. So it's just about enough caffeine to get me all the way home without getting too tired.
And not even trying to blow smoke or anything like that. They did absolutely everybody was worried about the Main Street Bakery. And I know we brought this up before, but you have to admit Starbucks did. Disney and Starbucks did a fantastic job implementing it into the facade and the beauty of the parks. Every one of the Starbucks are some of the nicest stores on property now.
Everybody thought it was going to be so garish or something, and like you said, it just blends in perfectly with what it's supposed to be. So,
I mean, if somebody walked down Main Street and they weren't aware there was a Starbucks there, they'd probably walk by it without even knowing it. Mm-hmm. So that's how good a job they did at just blending it in with the other facades on either side of it. And you know, there is a sign, Starbucks sign, but it's I believe it's gold or something, and you know unless you're really looking for it, you hardly even notice it.
Well, it's like how I preached on the show when this came out, when it was released over a year ago, and everybody was up in arms about it a couple years ago now. The Main Street one was, oh, they're gonna ruin Main Street. Like, really? I mean, my argument was, and you agree with me, Dan, that, well, Casey's Corner has had Coca-Cola on it since I can remember. Am I wrong? And it isn't like they had a neon Coke bottle sticking out in the middle of Main Street flashing to ruin it. Disney's not going to ruin the architecture of any of their properties.
No, and it was just like with the old Kodak camera stores and stuff like that. I mean, there's been commercial advertisements all over Disney property since going back to Disneyland. That's how we built Disneyland, with sponsorships from major companies, all the way back to the New York's World Fair, too. I mean, all of that stuff had probably more signage and advertisement on it than the stuff in the parks now.
Exactly. And the thing was, like, when Carmen, I got picked on when she did the show, she was wonderful on it. She'll be on again soon, one of these days. But the point is that I said that I told the story, and everybody's laughing. I got picked on Twitter and a couple texts from friends about how my wife tricked me into, when Nestle was the sponsor of the land. I thought my wife told me we got there that the balloons were chocolate. It was my first trip to Disney, so I believed it. She goes, and you know all them balloons there are chocolate. And I'm like, you get out. And I'm believing it. But you know how they're wrapped in the foil, and they, you know what I'm saying, the chocolate you get. I'm thinking, dude, I was just blown away. It was my first trip ever. I'm walking down Main Street at Disney World, and I couldn't believe what I'm seeing. Pirates, Haunted Mansion. We get over to Epcot, and she tells me that. Why am I not supposed to believe it?
Right. And you were waiting for Willy Wonka to come running out from somewhere, right?
Exactly. But she picked it, like she did, is it was cute. She put a picture up a couple days later on Twitter saying, picking on me about it, which was awesome. Like, I'll take it. I did believe that. My wife was cracking up the whole trip. And then she kept, and we then the same trip was, we had fun. We brought my brother-in-law. That's when I told the story about down at the Rainforest Cafe. The way we filmed it, he thought that the alligator was real that keeps popping up and growling at you.
Oh, the one out front there.
Yes, right. Yes. I kept putting my hand in it like I'm trying to go after him, and my wife's filming it. And I'm like, get back! And I'm screaming. And my brother-in-law's watching the video on our camera at home, and he's like, man, you're nuts! I'm like, no, you're nuts. That thing's fake, dude. But he's thinking I'm trying to wrestle an alligator. Ain't that stupid? Well, maybe. What's up next, partner?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much gonna do it. I mean, just all the fireworks. Let's see, Disney's.
You got one Pizza Planet's closing down for a major refurbishment. I wonder what that means.
Yeah, I thought we heard rumblings of this a little earlier, but yeah, Pizza Planet closing for major refurbishment, lasting most of 2016. It's an 11-month closure that's expected for the Pizza Planet, which will affect me zero because I don't think I've ever walked through those doors. No word yet on exactly what is being done, but the length of the closure certainly indicates a major change. The future of the restaurant remains in doubt as Toy Story Land is being built on the other side of the park, which would suggest that the current Pizza Planet will not reopen with the same theme. So that's the speculation.
Yeah, I wonder what they will do there. It's probably going to have to be something to do with Toy Story, wouldn't you think?
No, well, I would say no. I think what they're saying is...
I mean, Star Wars Land, I mean?
Yes.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. But yeah. You think there's probably going to be something coming back as far as with Star Wars and all.
Either that or, Muppets or something like that. But where that's located is near, the ABC Commissary and the Commissary Lane there. So whether they theme it to something, in keeping with that, or to your point, Doug, maybe Star Wars is going to reach out over that far into the, into the studios. So that seems to make more sense to me.
Yeah, because there's a lot going away. Because I listened to Lou Mangiello, which he don't need a plug, but we all do. And he was even telling everybody to get on their last couple rides if you want to see lights, motor, action back there, because the days are numbered on that. He said, I'm just saying, and when Lou's just saying,
right?
It's pretty much said.
Well, I saw my last showing of that 10 years ago. That's good enough for me, so I'm good.
I've said it before, I like that show only when it's not blazing out, because right. I've seen it every trip I go down, December, January, February, I see it, because I enjoy cars, I'm into all that, it's fun to me. It's amazing to me how they don't make mistakes on something that real,
right.
But when it's summertime, I can't do it. I did it one time with my godson and them, and it was bad.
Yeah, them metal bleachers just soak the heat in, and it's just not very comfortable. And it's a fairly long show, and those are that have been there, like you're saying, Doug, in the summer. And, summer in Florida, I look at as, it's 8 or 9 months of the year. So if you go in any of those times, pretty much it's going to be pretty brutal. And then if it's not sunny out and the skies open up, you're way out there, you got quite a walk to get to the main part of the park, so you're going to get soaked if you're not baking in the heat. So either way, the venue is not a very good one for that show.
I the only thing they could have did worse is they had the seats dark black or brown.
Right.
Being metal. Right. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't put like some aluminum tannings,
right.
Like the, how
mirrors
they,
or something.
Yeah, something to reflect all the sun onto you. Make sure everybody, you get burnt front and back. At least give you an even tan.
Well, it'll be a good place to put some of those, the sun things they put on the roof there.
Solar panels.
Yeah, solar panels. It's just the right angle for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of room there. There's a lot of space there to put, for Star Wars Land. That's like major real estate back there.
Right.
Prime real estate. The other thing I seen too is when's the last time you did the Magic Carpets of Aladdin? They're closing next month too. So if you have your kids and you're taking them down, they're closing down.
The next time will be the first time for me. I thought that was on the bucket list. You mentioned that, Doug, that you're going to try to do those fairly on your next trip.
Yeah, because it's been so long, and it's like years ago, we were there on them, the Aladdin, but I've never, I forget they're there all the time, don't you?
Yeah, because I'm usually heading to Pirates or something like that, and I just walk right by them and hope not to get spit on by the camel, and that's all I really, my only interaction with that attraction.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, John, I'm sorry.
I watch them while I'm eating Dole Whip, that's about
exactly, like, the thing that's funny about me to the ride, and nobody talks about them or whatever, but the same thing. Me and Brenda's talking, we're strolling along, and then all of a sudden I remember they're there. It's like the only time I remember they're there is when I'm next to them. It's not on your mind at all.
Yeah, and face it, they're not an e-trick eat ticket attraction, obviously, and you know, I'd rather spend my time doing pirates
but,
or
yeah. But my point is, it's the same as Dumbo. But Dumbo,
exactly.
Not enough people can get on it.
Right.
That's my point. It's like that's forgotten compared to Dumbo, and it's basically the same exact ride, just themed different.
Exactly. Yeah, and the closure is going to be fairly fairly short, January 25th through February 3rd, and it'll be reopening on the 4th. So unless you're going during those dates, you can have all the magic carpet riding you want.
Yeah, they're redoing that, but just let people know, because you don't want them to fast pass that then.
Right.
And not be open.
Exactly.
And the other thing is I was watching more. I'm really getting excited about the new Soarin'. Have you guys seen any of the videos or anything on it?
I saw one a while back, and I think we talked about it, and I think we might have seen the same one. But, yeah, they were showing a shot film, I guess, of the helicopter with the camera hanging down on the cable or what have you, and showing it flying over these different places all around the world and, you know, doing the filming, actually. So, yeah, Doug, you're right. The build-up has started for that, the new movie for Soarin'.
The thing I was shocked about, not excited about, is, and I'm not shocked, but I didn't know this until recently I was watching it. They're actually putting the same film in California. So I was pretty surprised. I mean, I'm sure California's happy to get something different, but I didn't know for sure that they were going to put the same film in both parks, but apparently the new film's going in California too. Ain't that a little surprising to you?
To me, no. I mean, you know, the millions of dollars, I'm sure it's costing them to film this. You get more bang for the buck putting it out in California as well, especially where it's, you know, soaring over the world now, not specific to California. So it makes sense not to shoot a second movie, or if they do, put it in a can for 10 years or something and break it out as something new down the road.
Yeah, I was just shocked because the ride was called Soarin' Over California. So I guess they're going to redo the facade or redo the queue out there in California to change it up maybe a little bit, because I know they're redoing ours. I'm excited to see that too. I know I keep mentioning it, but please do something so everybody ain't hovering around the food court. Because that's one of the reasons, again, that we don't eat at Sunshine Seasons. That's one of the major things. Have a proper entrance for this ride. Create a proper queue. I hope as they're doing something, they add something to this queue.
Yeah, I think that's the worst queue on property.
If we did the top five worst queues, it would be Soarin', and then, by the way, Soarin'.
Right.
And the only other queue that's as bad as Soarin' is It's a Small World, but the only reason that isn't as bad, because at least you can see the ride as you're standing there, and then Soarin's little cattle chute there.
And it's never more than 10 or 15 minutes anyway, if you ride at the right time. So, but yeah. Soarin', you're waiting for, what, an hour and a half, and it's incredibly boring to...
It's like I'd be happy if they rolled like a big ball down that chute and you had to avoid it or something.
Right.
You know, do something. I mean, I feel like I'm in a huge pinball machine and waiting for the ball to return.
Yeah, that queue is so boring. I mean, with the fast passes we have now, I got to say, I haven't done standby for Soarin' or for many, many rides in many years now. I just, you know, I either have fast pass or skip it. I don't, because Soarin', you're right, you can almost fall asleep on the floor there waiting to, if you were doing standby.
I mean, I'd literally like them to hand me a rag and a bucket, and I'd start cleaning that queue or do something for them just to make myself useful. Hand out flyers. Next time you go, grab a handful of park maps and give them to people as you're waiting in line. Don't waste your time. I mean, my goodness, bring your laptop along. Do some work.
Right,
I mean, that is it's boring, but I don't know. I was listening to... And again, the WDW Radio Lou, and they were talking about also one of those guests, which did a good thing. He agreed with what we were saying, like the new Peter Pan queue, how awesome that is. And he lives right in the area, and he was talking about how missing the queues are a travesty to him. It's half the ride. And it was nice to actually hear somebody else, you know, preach what we've been preaching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they spend all this money to do them, you might as well enjoy them. And again, I think this is one of the big things that separates a Disney park from any other theme park in the country. I mean, most of the other theme parks, the main attraction is the attraction itself. And you know, they don't theme the queue lines, and they don't theme around the attraction itself. It's just a massive steel if it's a roller coaster or something like that. Whereas Disney, you know, take the Mine Train or Big Thunder or Splash, any of those, the theming is what makes it so wonderful. I mean, I think most people agree that Space Mountain, when the lights are on and you see what it's all about, it would be a pretty lousy attraction if it was just that hunk of steel going every which way and you could see it and it was out, you know, to the light. The thing that makes it cool is all of the theming and the music and the laser lights and all that other stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah, the eeriness of it.
Yeah, exactly.
When it lights are on in there, it even scares you more. You're going to get decapitated.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, to continue on with the Magic Kingdom, we figured we'd have a little fun, you know, changing some things up. And what we'd like to see, what would we like to see, I think it's a totally wasted space, speaking of real estate, is Tom Sawyer's Island. And we'd like to see something actually done to that. So, I mean, you guys have some ideas what you'd like to see done to it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go first. And I actually did this a couple of trips ago. It had been many, many, many years since we went over there. And, you know, I think we were on a 10-day vacation. So, again, we had a little bit more time, which that's what you really need, I think, to really enjoy Tom Sawyer Island now. Because you got to get on those little rafts, little motorized rafts to take you over there. And, you know, depending on how crowded it is, you know, it could take 15, 20 minutes to, you know, queue up there and get on one of the rafts, go over, get tied up. And, you know, basically it's just those that have been over there, it's just there's a bunch of props and caves and stuff and walking paths, if you will, that go up and around. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's a mountain, but it's like a hill there in the waterway.
Yeah, there's an incline.
Yeah, an incline would be a good way to put it. And, you know, it's a pretty large space, to be quite honest. If you go you know, all the way around on all the trails, you get a good view of Frontierland, and over on the other side you get a great view of
the picture ops are awesome.
Oh yeah, because if you like the Haunted Mansion, you can get some great shots of that. And you know, you can just enjoy the Magic Kingdom from afar. And you know, they have some picnic tables over there. They got some play areas of children and stuff like that with, you know, like a steering wheel, and there's like a ship's mast, I think, out there and stuff like that. But, you know, it's nothing exciting, nothing more than just walking trails. And there's a lot of signage that reference the Tom Sawyer story. And I know they used to have the paintbrushes where they'd hide in the caves, and if you found one, you brought it to a cast member, and I think they gave you a pin or something. I got a
fast pass for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and for Splash Mountain the last time my son found them, so
nice.
That's what they gave us. So.
Are they still doing that, John?
We did it probably 3.5 years ago, finally, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, and I had read month after we found it. I actually got a picture of my son holding the paintbrush, but I read month after that they stopped doing it, because it was one of those things where they just kind of started doing it, and it was one of those hidden little treasure things. But
yep,
you know, once us media moguls get a hold of it, everybody looks for it, and if they don't find it, it has completely ruined their entire Disney vacation.
Oh,
so
boy.
They had to stop. So
people going wah.
Exactly. They got something I didn't get. And
exactly.
Yeah, but anyways, what I would do, I would put a restaurant out there, and you know, for a couple of reasons, one of which is that I think Disney is lacking good sit-down restaurants in the Magic Kingdom, or I should say enough of them. Being the, you know, the world's most visited theme park, you know, the dining opportunities, I think, are limited there. And with Be Our Guest coming on board and the new Skipper's Canteen, I think they're heading in the right direction and probably will continue to build restaurants over the next 10 years. But I would put a huge restaurant up there themed to Frontierland, something in keeping with that motif, if you will. And what I would do is put like a overhead bridges, if you will, if you could envision from Frontierland, like in front of Country Bear Jamboree or something, you know, the old planking, and you know, not like the well, they do have some of those now, the pedestrian, I call them bridges, that's probably not the right term, but to get people over there But I wouldn't, like, you know, do a clean cut of all the trees. I would try to keep the...
Inside the architecture, the already...
Yeah, so that it kind of still looked rustic and looked, you know, kind of the way it does now. But, you know, maybe it would look something like would fit in over at the Wilderness Lodge or something like that with, you know, like a log cabin style or wood facade or something like that where, it, you know, it'd kind of blend in. You know, there'd be no neon blinking lights or anything like that over there. But, yeah, I would put a giant restaurant up there, out there that, you know, would be keeping with frontier land and people would be able to go over there and, you know, like you mentioned, Doug, with the viewing areas, you could, you know, just enjoy yourself and maybe, you know, maybe do something different with the transportation, you know, still, you know, I wouldn't utilize the paddle boats, but maybe something a little more modern, not too much so, but maybe rowboats that have modern motors on them or something like that, so you could quickly get people to and fro, as long as they don't get hit by the Liberty Bell there, whatever.
See, but you know, I would also, to continue with the Liberty Bell, how about you set another stop where it drops you off and picks you back up?
Yeah, that's a possibility,
that's
too.
That's a point that I was having, like maybe yeah. You get on that and it drops you off at the restaurant.
Right, I mean, they'd have to change things around, I guess, with the track, right? Because that is on a track. Or
yeah, it is. It's on a track, but like the way it docks at, you know, it docks to let you on and off in Liberty Square there. How about you have it make a dock area on the far side of the island and maybe build the restaurant, maybe something back there where you get off.
Yeah.
And make the boat more, because I don't think enough people get on the Liberty Bell myself. I don't think most people know that you can get on it.
Right, right. And again, that's something that, you know, we do probably every third or fourth, fifth trip or something.
I love it.
It's time for us. I mean, again, if you only got one day in the Magic Kingdom and you're trying to do all the e-attractions, that's an easy cut from the day.
Yeah.
But if you're there 10 days or something, you can fit it in because in all likelihood, you're going to do the Magic Kingdom at least 2 days. And now it fits and you can get to enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, that would be my thing. I would do a restaurant on Tom Sawyer Island. What do you guys think? You got any other ideas what you guys would do?
Well, that was my point, too, a restaurant. I would love to see a nice themed restaurant or maybe a couple restaurants over there because I don't think that maybe a dockside, the regular restaurant, the counter service, that should be open all year long. I don't know why. It's closed more than it's open. I don't think I've ever been there where it was open.
Yeah, Aunt Polly's. When I went there a couple of years ago, I was happy to see it there. I had either forgotten it was there or I didn't know it was there, one of the two, and it's kind of a nice place. It's got, you know, a big wooden porch on the front, a deck, that better way to say it. And, you know, they had some vending machines out there, so if you happen to have, I don't think they worked with an ATM card, at least I don't recall, but if you happen to bring some change or whatever out there, you could get a soda on a hot day. But, yeah, it's underutilized, and I just think it's because not a lot of people go over there, and
it's just a hassle.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
I think part of the problem with the restaurant right now, until they decided to build a bridge, was that the ability to get stuff over there because that's not actually connected to the tunnel system because of the river that circles it. So the only way that they could get food and stuff out there would be to put it on the Tom Sawyer rafts right now and float it across, you know. And so to really have a restaurant out there, you'd have to build a bridge to be able to drive stuff over there, you know, to resupply your restaurant. So
because I tell people too, John and Dan, that like I've had people on their trips before they go on their trips with young kids, and I think I've mentioned this years ago on a show. But if you want to utilize Tom Sawyer's Island, start reading the kids the books, because most kids this generation don't even know who Tom Sawyer is.
Yeah, when my son was 8 years old, had him read Tom Sawyer, and then we watched the cartoon, and then it's a lot of fun for I hate to be sexist here, but a boy between the age of 8 and 12, Tom Sawyer's Island is just an utter blast, you know? I mean, if you like playing in the woods, you like playing, there's that little fort over there with the little rifle guns that you can shoot at the trains.
Exactly, but speaking of that, they're probably no longer there because there's no guns now allowed on Disney property.
Yeah, you're right. They probably took them out, so now it's just a lookout.
Exactly. So the point is, I think, and this is the reason why we brought it up, the island is way underutilized. With all the Disney, I tell you what they do, Dan. How about we turn it into Arendelle?
Yeah. No, how about Troll Island?
That's a hard, hard stretch.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, don't you think that area is, like, totally underutilized, though? Like, you said, Den, restaurant, anything. I mean, I would miss the Liberty Bell. I would miss Tom Sawyer's Island. But with how crowded the park's getting and everything else right now, either they need to push Tom Sawyer more and do something with it, or they need to totally use that for something else, in my opinion. Maybe go another way. Use it. Use the land and create, you know, something to do with Pixar there.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say, Doug. I think if they did any major refurbishment, Tom Sawyer obviously is an old story and harkens back to the old days. I would think they'd retheme it with something more, you know, contemporary. I really do, whether it be Pixar or one of their other franchises that they could capitalize on. Because, you know, John did a great job with his kid. He was just telling us, you know, having him read the story and stuff. But let's face it, most kids today, like you said, Doug, they don't even know who Tom Sawyer is. So, you know, if they put, Monsters, Inc., anything, pick a franchise and did something with it, I think it would be hugely popular and it'd get utilized. And, you know, it'd be a good add to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, it'd almost be like a new land. I mean, not quite that big, but it would be a mini land anyways. There's a lot of area out there that they could, you know, to your point, do a restaurant and maybe even a minor or a couple minor attractions out there.
Yeah,
don't
maybe
you think the?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say that I think the reason why they haven't done something like that is because where it is located, Frontierland is, you know, it's Frontierland. So trying to squeeze one of their successful franchises in there is just a oddball fix. Unfortunately, they haven't had any, you know, any Cowboys and Indians movies.
They
could have
did something with Woody and Woody out there.
Yeah, that'd probably be about it, I guess, right? I mean, Woody and Jesse type thing. I mean, they have, yeah, that would be the only thing I can think of lately that's really been a success as far as Cowboys or anything for them.
Yeah,
so.
Well, the Lone Ranger sure wasn't successful.
No.
That would have worked if it was successful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
But anything to do with it. I mean, I think they need to change the island, put an attraction over there, maybe get the. They need to get better access to that island somehow. You know, better access for you to get to and fro, because, like, we're with my mother-in-law, we don't even think about going.
No, it's a forgotten thing. I mean, for years, I mean, we first started going to Disney World. I mean, that was one of the last things we ever did, I guess, when we had already done all the other attractions after, you know, let's say 5 trips there or something like that. You know, it took many years before we even thought about going over there. It just wasn't appealing, and there were just so many other better things to do around the Magic Kingdom. It just wasn't wasn't high on the priority list for us to get over there. And then once we did go over there, like I said, it's nothing that blows you away. It's just kind of, yeah, that was different, or gee, you know, that was a, you know, we killed an hour or whatever it might be. But you know, other than that, it has no pull to it right now.
Now, what do you think of this, guys? And this is really going out there, and I'm not saying I would like to do it or not, but it's just food for thought. What if they totally docked the Liberty Bell like they did Fulton's Crab House and turn it into a restaurant or something? And fill that area in. Just leave a little water and extend out that whole property there to stop that bottlenecking. Maybe add a couple things of Frontierland, add something over by the Haunted Mansion or Liberty Square, and extend that part of the park out, because it is a bottleneck at that end of the park.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what I was thinking. Just get rid of the water and, you know,
there goes my ducks again, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it'd be much easier to do. I mean, in California, they couldn't do that because that's where they show Fantasmic. But in Florida, they definitely could do that. And just think of the big property that would be created if they did do that. And whether they kept the Liberty Bell or not, I mean, you could literally have a new land if you did what you were suggesting and fill in the waterway. However, the waterway is a nice feature part of Frontierland, and, you know, even around by the Haunted Mansion over that side, it would be missed. But I think if they did something unique with it, it would be accepted and welcomed.
Even if you kept ponds on either side, some kind of waterway on either side, maybe at the back. Know how the train goes by it in the back? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice if that was all filled in? You could hop off the train and go into that land?
Yeah, no, absolutely would be. I mean, the only thing that might throw a wrinkle into this, and I don't know the answer to this question, you know, unless within the Magic Kingdom they agreed to keep some of the vegetation and trees and stuff as part of the what do they call that, wildlife preserves. I know it's not a preserve, but you know what I mean.
No,
maybe
absolutely.
There's some kind of agreement with, you know, for the local wildlife and those big bill pterodactyls, as I call them, that'll bite your hand off if you hold them a turkey leg. What are those called, John? You're a local.
probably mean the great white the white herons, right?
Yeah, whatever those things are. Yeah, I got bit once. I was actually in Frontierland, and I had one of those turkey legs, and I was holding it down by my side, and that thing come right up from behind me and blindsided me and bit my finger. Oh, did that hurt.
Oh,
but yeah, it was one of those white pterodactyls, as I call it.
Cannibal thing.
Yes. Yeah, but anyways, yeah, maybe there's something to do with that where they, you know, couldn't just do what we're suggesting. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, I think something needs. What's your thoughts on it, John?
I'd like to see a restaurant there for sure, but I would think more of maybe a drawbridge, you know, kind of to connect it. Because you, as it is now, you'd have to have the Liberty Bell go by it once every 45 minutes, I guess, or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make, too. The Liberty Bell don't run enough for me.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the times when we don't end up getting on it because we don't want to wait the 40 minutes to go again.
Yeah, and if you had a drawbridge over there, it'd probably be even less because they wouldn't want to lift that up and down constantly to do that. But to put a restaurant over there, you'd have to build some kind of bridge. But I'd love to see, like, a good home-cooking restaurant over there, maybe fried chicken, fried catfish. And put it where Aunt Polly's is and make a big outdoor seating right along the river. And I think that would be really, really cool. So
I agree, and I agree with both you and Dana. I think, honestly, if they did away with, and I hate to say it, I love the Liberty Bell. It's always been one. It's my brother's favorite ride, like one of his favorite things to do. He talks about it all the time. He can't wait to get back on old Liberty, he'll say, on his way getting ready for his trip. And it's kind of like his version of the train to me. I know he likes the train more, but he won't admit it because I like it. It's just who my brother is.
It sounds about right.
Yes, but he loves the Liberty Bell, and I do too, because I'm the brother that don't mind admitting I like the same thing as him. Idiot. But anyway,
I take it he don't listen to your podcast.
No, I hope he. I play these parts specifically for him. I remember what parts they are, so I can put it on the boombox at the job site. But anyway, because my rigid, I have the rigid, the boombox, the job site box that my iPhone hooks right to. So I make sure the idiot hears it. I'll say it again. But anyway, I hate to say that get rid of it, but I think that if they did, they could make better access to that island and make better use to it. I really do. There's not enough good restaurants. Like, I'm not, and people will hate me for it, but I'm not the biggest of Be Our Guest fans. I'm really not. And
no,
I know you aren't either. John, you?
We still haven't been in there. I haven't eaten lunch or dinner in there yet. I want to keep trying, but I mean, it just doesn't have that much of appeal to me right now. So,
no, I mean, it's the price. It isn't worth what you're paying. But like, again, it's sad that my favorite two restaurants are my favorite is the Columbia Harbor House by far, which everybody knows. And out of all the restaurants, I like Tony's more than everybody else. I get booed on that for liking Tony's. But I do like Tony's. I've eaten there 3 or 4 times. I've never had a bad meal there. So that's, you know, and that's one of those things like we talked about. What were we speaking on the show before? You ate somewhere, John. You weren't too thrilled with it. And we talked, Sanaa.
Sanaa, yeah.
Where everybody else liked it. So you're wrong. No, but I'm just kidding. It's like, you know, you were looking forward to it. You weren't like totally disappointed, but it didn't go to the expectation you were expecting. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think the only reason that I even complained about it was because I had such high expectations about it, and it just didn't live up to it. So
yeah, if you'd have just showed up there, it'd have been fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, and you'd have had a better waiter.
Yeah,
the waiter didn't give John enough love.
If I could have gotten my second beer, everything would have probably been okay.
There's a theme to this, John. Hello. But anyway, no, I just don't think that it gets utilized enough. And it's sad, like I said, with the island. Like, it's sad that I like Columbia Harbor House and the Plaza are my favorite two restaurants. And most people walk by the Plaza the same way they walk by Pinocchio's. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the first few years we went there, I mean, other than maybe seeing it on a park map or something, I mean, I walked by it many times and never even knew it was there. And back during that time, it was a true hidden gem. That's less so true now.
I found it going to the bathroom.
Right. Exactly. But I mean,
I
it's
see.
not. Yeah,
Yeah,
go
go
ahead.
ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say it's not the hidden gem that it once was. I mean, with the
Because of
pressure,
social media.
right, with the social media and the pressure on places to eat in the Magic Kingdom, just in general, it's hard to get in there now. I mean, generally, you need an ADR or you got to walk in at, on those shoulder times. So any hope of getting a table there, because it's a small restaurant, as you know, and it fills up very quickly.
Oh, I honestly, the way I found it was I was headed to the bathroom. I'm like, what's the maitre d' doing at the bathroom?
Yeah. Right.
Do I need to get a assigned a stall? I'll take a pee at 7:15.
Fast passes for using the facilities.
Exactly. I went walking down that alleyway and I see the tables there and I see the maitre d' there. I'm like, what's this joint? This is like back in like 98, not the first or the second trip down there, and I'm like, Brenda, there's a restaurant here.
I think for the longest time I thought it was a part of the ice cream parlor that's right there. So
yeah,
yeah,
and
that's a
I
good
could see
point.
that too.
Yep.
Yeah, so me and Brenda's like, we got to try this. We end up eating there, and they do have good food. I mean, as good as they possibly could make a Philly cheesesteak, they do okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a lot of representations from different food around the country, and you're right. Nothing's going to beat a Philly cheesesteak from Philly, obviously. But they do a fair job, and they do have some healthy choices there, and they do have good ice cream desserts that I'm sure they get right from the ice cream parlor that's, as John mentioned, right next door. So yeah, it's got a lot of things going for it other than availability. But if you do get a chance to go there, or you're looking for a place to get an ADR on a future trip, the Plaza is a great choice, and an off the beaten path place that you may have missed all these years.
It's a beautiful restaurant too, for as little it is. With all, it is very. I wish the gold was real and I could have some of
Right. Yeah, and if you get a table out by the window there, and you happen to, the parade's going by, you can definitely hear it, and you can see parts of it, or at least the higher floats that come by. You can check that out as well.
No, but yeah. So getting back to, I would like to see. I wouldn't mind. I wish they'd put. Like I'd like to see them close down the Liberty. I mean, not to see them close down, but I wouldn't be hurt, and build that out there. Maybe put another couple attractions in the center there. I mean, because that's like the dead center of the back of the park. You could put something really creative, really cool back there.
Yeah, I mean, they already have what, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder, the Mine Train, and Space Mountain. So, if they tried to do some sort of mountain themed, roller coaster, I think it'd be a little overkill. So, I'm not even sure what type of attraction they could or would put out there, but I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see some kind of new land go there, because I think it would be better utilized for the grounds. It's with you, John. It seems like you don't want to see them take the island away.
I kind of like Tom Sawyer's Island, but I could see the value. It's a huge piece of property, along with Tomorrowland Speedway, that I think are totally both underutilized for where they're located and what you could really put in there that would, I think, fit a little better, you know?
Yeah, well, to me, Dennis has said it a million times, and I agree with him. I'm shocked at this point they haven't turned them into electric cars yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, Disney's such a forward-thinking company, and they've been on this the green thing for many years now. I mean, back in the resorts, they were one of the first places I remember pushing recycling and stuff like that. So, you would think they'd get rid of those smelly gas-operated motors they have on those little cars.
They are so and I hate to say it, don't say it, they are so annoying.
Right. Well,
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I
especially
just want to get away.
like John said, they don't really fit in Tomorrowland either. So, I mean, I'd advocate them just getting rid of that whole attraction. Although it's very popular,
Yeah.
get rid of it and put something in there that's more themed to a Tomorrowland area.
That's what I always thought, but then I could never figure out why 8 years ago they didn't do a simple Cars overlay to it. And make them put faces on the windshields and make them Lightning McQueen and Mater and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, I think when they built that one out in California, people would be up in
arms. They shut that down, yeah.
They got a, you know, $3.2 billion, what is that called out there, the car's attraction. The name escapes me right now. And all they did was
Radiator Springs.
Yeah, and they put stickers on our windshields out in Florida. people would have said, no, we want the full deal like they got out in California. So that's probably why they didn't do it. And they didn't want to, you know, duplicate attractions, I guess, but... Yeah, if they put a Radiator Springs in there, that would be awesome. But I guess you could still argue it doesn't fit in Tomorrowland, though.
No,
and these are the things, like, I know we're looking for more upgrades and stuff like that, but you're so right. That ride, that's Yesterland.
it's Yesterland, and if, when you're riding my beloved TTA, you get a, you know, a mouthful of that. If the wind's blowing just right, you get the solemn as you're going into Space Mountain, you know.
Exhaust
you're
fumes.
Trying to yeah, it's like so, like, again, I don't want to repeat myself, but it's the most annoying sound, especially when there's four or five of them going at the same time. It's like, stop it already. It's like, and the cars don't even switch lanes. I don't, it's like, come on. It's sad. It's a sad version of a go-kart.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many better go-kart, you know, places around our hometowns, I'm sure. I mean, it's that ride has passed its time, and something needs to be done there. And I think it will be eventually. They just haven't got around to it yet.
But that's two major lots of land, because that ride takes up major area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The track layout it's huge, and, you know, they could definitely get another good-sized attraction or a couple medium-sized ones in there for sure.
Hey, you know, worst the best case scenario. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Johnny.
I was going to say, the best part of that attraction is that little secret path that goes from the Great Goofini roller coaster to Space Mountain over there that our little buddy walks on. So that's the best part.
Quiet about that.
That's where I get all my trick-or-treat candy during the Halloween party.
That's how me and Brenda sneak out of the park most nights. Our last trip there, it was so cool. That's a beautiful. They did a really good job with all the refurb and all back there of making that area nice. Isn't that a beautiful walk?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
It is.
It is. It's, you know, and the grass is almost like a golf course out there, and there's a little bit of shade and a little bit of sun, and, you know, it's a good way to cut that whole corner out that's usually heavily congested. And, you know, most people don't even know that's there, and like John said, you can get over there by Space Mountain in no time at all.
Yeah, we did that last trip. We left Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Brenda goes, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "Just follow me, hon," which she does. And we took that way around and out. It was awesome. We were the only two back there. We passed one other person going the opposite way, and it was a single cast member.
Right.
And I'm shocked because it was crowded.
Oh, yeah. People, you know, they tend to just follow the masses, and it makes sense. But, that's a little secret pathway that is very underutilized. And, you know, if you like the railroad, you can get a real good up close to the railroad. When it comes out of that station, you're almost standing, 10 feet away from it at that
point. Oh, yeah, you're right on it.
Yep.
Right on it.
Doug, that's where I was when I sent you that video that I filmed there before Christmas that time. So it's exactly where I was. So.
Oh, of the train.
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome. But no, they need to utilize that more back there. I'd like to see them have a little more interactive. If not, then if they're going to continue keeping Tom Sawyer's Island back there, they should push it a little bit more. Like, do something with the whole franchise or something with it. I mean, how many years has there been nothing mentioned about? Because they don't even replay it on the Disney Channel anymore. At least when they used to have the original Disney Channel, you would see, you know, Davy Crockett and stuff like that, which, to me, Davy Crockett is the same thing as Tom. It kind of goes with all that.
Yeah, same era. I would agree with that. Well, who knows? With all the remakes they've been doing of all the old movies, maybe at some point they'll do a remake of Tom Sawyer, and that'll be the time that that'll get breathe into it again.
No, I want something back there, though, because it's like, to me and Brent, it's like two areas that we don't even go to.
Right.
The cars and that. I mean, if you had all that land combined, I'm sure the Imagineers could really come up with something good. And then while you're at it, get rid of that that primeval world, please.
That whole area can go. So,
speaking of areas that need to go.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you guys with the restaurant, though.
Well,
and they could really sell that if they had permanent access back and forth to the island.
I'm sure they got plans somewhere to do something with that area. I wouldn't be surprised. They just, you know, there's a sequence of things that need to happen, and I'm sure at some point something will happen to those areas.
So we're going to wrap things up, but we want to wish everybody out there, all of our friends out there, a very merry rest of the holiday, a happy new year, and have a safe and happy, healthy and wealthy new year.
Yeah, that sounds great. I agree. And, you know, it's exciting to start a new year, start anew. And, you know, we got a lot of guests and shows lined up for you guys. So stay tuned to WDW Main Street. We got a lot of exciting stuff coming this year.
Yeah, we got our buddy John going to be joining us more often. He'll be on quite often, actually. He's going to be our Florida correspondent, and he has another trip. When's your next one? In 2 weeks?
Yeah, we're probably going to head out there in 2 weeks. I'm not real sure what we're going to do yet. Maybe check out the Pixar Short Film Festival. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I've seen a couple of the previews for the Zootopia movie. And
that looks good, don't it?
Oh, that looks hilarious. So I want to see that. And I think that they said they're showing that in the One Man Dreams Theater, a little preview of that. So I wouldn't mind going and checking that out too. So
there you go. You turned to it, Tom Sawyer's Island in the Zootopia.
I was thinking maybe Chester and Hester's Land. That would fit in perfect in Animal Kingdom. So
there you go. Anything's better than what they have there, man. Anything. I'd listen to. I'd rather. Put what's his face, what's that, Mulch, Sweat, and Tears over there, and get rid of everything else. Just have a little singing area and a place I can sit down and eat.
Have them
more
in
entertaining
off-kilter.
Than what they have there.
Them in off-kilter come out and entertain you, right?
There you go. Yeah, off-kilter's going to be entertaining people on WDW today now. So
nice.
That's what I've heard anyway. Have you heard that again yourself, Dan?
I have not, but you did tell me that a couple weeks ago, so that'd be interesting if that is true.
Well, the new shows are supposed to be coming out for them, guys, so I'm looking forward to hearing their house band. I know you'll like that, Dan. That's the reason I brought it up. I know you're a big off-kilter fan.
Yeah, if they are, I might have to listen.
So, well, at least the first 5 minutes.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
just
right.
Kidding, guys. Get all your news here and then go listen to WDW today.
Yes.
And then the other thing, did you hear about our buddy Mike having maybe Magical Mouse Radio is having problems now with 365 going away?
Yeah, I did see a tweet or a text or a tweet or a Facebook post rather. Yeah, it sounds like that station is just going defunct. So I don't know if Mike's searching for another venue or another way to, you know, present his radio station. I'm not sure, but yeah, that'll be sad if that's true, because I've been listening to Magical Mouse Radio since the first day it went on the air. So if he's not able to find something, that will be a travesty.
Yeah, I listen to it all the time. You know, I put them tweets out once in a while I'm building something. I just put one out the other day. I was building a cabinet out in the shop, and I was I tweeted out building cabinets in the shop, listening to Magical Mouse Radio. So if you guys, what he was reaching out for is if anybody else has an alternative for him, a way to broadcast, let them know. So I'm just putting it out there for him. If anybody who listens to us that knows of a way for him to continue it on a different format, you know, contact Be Our Guest Mike. I'm sure he'd be happy for all your input.
Yeah.
So, well, that's going to be it, John. You guys used to have a very happy new year. I bought this week.
All right.
I said water on the house.
Thank you.
So, but happy new year, guys. And please, everybody go over to Facebook and Twitter and follow us at WDW Main Street. And please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. I know it's a pain in the butt, but do it for us. We'd appreciate it. You guys got anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you on the next show.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.